During November last year, I had the honor of being a co-host of the Network to Heal Summit, which was created by Matthias and Doris Badner in Germany. These two beautiful souls are passionate about sharing the knowledge of homeopathy and many other natural health modalities to people around the globe. Matthias and Doris have given me permission to share some of the interviews from the Network to Heal Summit with our loyal listeners on the Homeopathy Hangout podcast. Be sure to visit www.networktoheal.de and sign up to their newsletter so you can be notified of future summits. Also, be sure to check out www.matthiasbadner.com for his other summits that he hosts throughout the year. That's www.matthiasbadner.com, and both websites are in English and German. Today's guest is Australian homeopath Peter Tamanello, who also featured on episode 141 of this podcast. The theme for the Network to Heal Summit was all about healing trauma, and more specifically, the trauma we face as a collective during and in the aftermath of COVID. So in this recording, Peter shares with us some of the homeopathic gemstone remedies we can use for this specifically to heal ourselves and our clients. Just as an aside, I also had the privilege in early November to meet Peter in person at the AHA conference in Brisbane. It was such a surreal experience to get to meet one of my homeopathic heroes in person. So to learn more about Peter or to purchase some of his beautiful books, and truly they are beautiful, I have all of his books in my clinic, be sure to visit thenaturalmedicinecentre.com.au. Enjoy the episode. Hello, everyone, and a very warm welcome to the Network to Heal Summit. Today, I have the immense pleasure of speaking with our much loved and very well respected Australian homeopath, Peter Tamanello. Welcome, Peter.
Hi, Eugenie. Great to be with you again. And hi, everybody. Lovely to be in your presence again.
Absolutely. So we are on the Network to Heal Summit. This is so exciting to have you here. I had the privilege of interviewing Peter for my podcast, Homeopathy Hangout, last year. And then Matthias asked me to find our best Australian homeopaths to interview for this summit. And you popped in my mind straight away, Peter. And anybody that might not know, Peter is the world authority on our homeopathic remedies that are made from various crystals. And after our chat last year, I was so inspired that I'm pretty sure, and you can correct me, Peter, if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure my exact words to you were, here's my debit card, send me all your books. And you did. And I have them here. And this past year, since you sent them to me end of last year, I have had so much fun in my clinic working with them. I may or may not just hold sometimes.
I think you might be a cat nuzzling up to the step.
But the artwork as well. I actually had a client today that I prescribed emerald for, and I actually got her to take a photo of the beautiful artwork in your book because it's just such a good visual representation. And rose quartz, I have to say, I have probably done a gazillion prescriptions this year, and I'm not like exaggerating. But the purpose of today's talk specifically is homeopathic crystal remedies and their relationship to trauma. And you've presented put together a PowerPoint for us. So if you want to take charge here.
I have, and I would love to.
Great. Thank you so much.
I'm just starting with this because it's a beautiful image. It's from a Bolivian amethyst mine. And so you can see the what they call a vug, which is a little egg inside the earth where the crystals grow. Yeah. And you can see there's a whole lot of rock around it, completely surrounded by what is actually probably a volcanic rock. Yeah. It's likely to be basalt from the look of it. Yeah. So the basalt, and being volcanic, is all about a fiery element. So the fiery element comes through and the crystals form in that fiery material, yeah, as it cools. But they only happen when that fiery business of the volcano and the volcanic rocks, and it can be any volcanic rock, comes in contact with the softer rocks, the ones that come from sedimentary formations. So what it is, what it's about here is the fire and water coming together. Now, as you might imagine, fire and water don't get on very well. And so they have a bit of conflict and they create quite a bit of a furor in each other. Yeah. And what happens is that the outcome of that quite violent interaction is crystals. Yeah. Because they're the only thing that can form in that environment as a new birth of rock. Yeah. So here we have what is generally two ordinary rocks. Yeah. And these beautiful things being formed out of it or from their interaction. And this image is very interesting because besides being beautiful and full of amethysts and all that business, it gives the idea of a whole. Yeah. So we can just translate that now into what happens in human beings when they come into a situation which to them is quite violent or completely unknown. Yeah. And that is that they can fall into a hole. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to manage it. Yeah. So let's move on from there a little bit. I often talk about the gems as a family. So in the gems as a family, there are many themes, and I haven't got time to go through that today, but there are a couple of themes that talk very definitively about this idea of trauma and what it is. So let's see if we can get this moving. Yeah, good. So the first theme is the theme called opposing forces. As you can see, I've just been talking about opposing forces. We're talking about yin and yang, the rocks that receive the fiery business.
Yeah.
And yang, the fiery stone of the volcano. Yes. So when these opposing forces come together, that's what forms gems. Yeah. And there are many themes that come out of that. But one of the themes is this irreconcilable forces and transmutation. And if you just think about this at the moment, and you think about trauma comes from something that you can't reconcile or process in your life. Yep. That is the very essence of trauma. And in crystals themselves, they're showing the way through the Earth Mother, yeah, of the way that trauma is healed. By the formation of something completely new. Yeah. It gives birth to something. And it's the process of change is going on with us all the time. But when we come up against something that's an enormous barrier for us and we don't know what to do with it, we don't know how to process it in the normal way. Yeah. Or in a fluid way. Essentially, we're stuck in trauma. Trauma can come from anything. It can come from, a war. It can come from a pandemic. It can come from losing somebody you love. Yeah. It can come from not having your dreams fulfilled. It's something you can't get over. Huh? And that's the daily essence of trauma. And the way through is a crystalline way. It's a transmutative way. So moving on from opposing forces, another theme of the crystals generally is being in the darkness. Remember that all crystals, at least the vast majority of them, are formed under the earth. They're formed in a dark place. And of course, the thing we love about crystals is that they shine. Yeah? They've got life. But they have to start off in this dark place, a place where they can't shine. No? So the correlation, the metaphor for humanity is being in the darkness, coming out of the darkness, yeah, and that process of coming out of the darkness. Yeah. So the darkness is usually the darkness of depression, yeah, looking for the light of joy. It can be the result of a death experience. And people say it's like, I'm stuck in a dark hole or I'm in hell. Yes. because there's a terrible experience that you can't get over. You can see how close the interface is with the modern idea of trauma. It can be an old crystallized belief systems about yourself that you can't deal with, yes, or from society that you can't deal with. The healing, of course, is the light of a new perspective that comes through with the crystal, a new awareness. It could be racial. It could be religious. It could be about the very existence of yourself as a soul or a person. The terminology that often comes forward when you've got a crystal remedy is being in the darkness. These are the expressions of clients and provers. Feeling imprisoned. I'm locked up in this feeling. Yeah. I can't get over this event. Yeah. This loss has just ruined me forever. It's a grave in there. I feel like I'm dead. It's ruined me. Some people talk about being shackled or trapped. It's like they're in an underworld. Yeah. Of course, taking the right remedy. The light shines through the door. There's a way forward. And it's so interesting that the darkness and trauma are so beautifully, you know, the interface is like almost perfect. So these are things I've been talking about for forever since I've been doing the gems and talking and teaching them. They've been a common part of my presentations and of the very essence of the gem world. So what I'd like to do now is just talk about some of my experiences. And I'm starting off with something here that's what I would call a humble stone. You can see this stone. It's something that I picked up on a beach in New Zealand. It was just last January. I was there with my partner and we were walking along the beach and, hey, I've got radar for stones. And I saw this and I thought, oh, it's a lovely green jasper. So I pick it up and I admire it for a little while. It's beautifully smooth and it's different from the rocks. All the crystals, most of the crystals are very mineralized. So they're highly formed internally and that gives them a very smooth surface. Or at least the potential for an extraordinarily smooth surface. And it was just that way with this. And you get an impression of it from the picture.
I'm sorry, Peter. I just have to share this with you. My last client I had today before you came on, she chose 22E. But actually on that chart, there was a lot of golds came up. So 22E. It's that one there. And in the color chart, a lot of gold came up. And it's really interesting because I had just had a really successful prescription with her daughter about 6 months ago with Aurum Nat Myrrh. And so Aurum Nat Myrrh was also there. About six of the Aurum salts were in that. And I'm screaming for her. But as you were talking about, you know, the darkness and the traps, she also popped in my mind. But now I'm just thinking jade. Would be a good, might be a good next remedy for him, but I'm probably jumping the gun.
Jade, yeah. It's jasper, not jade.
Oh, jasper. Sorry, jasper.
Yeah, but jade is in a similar boat. Yeah.
I can't believe similar that she chose, and then you bring this up. That's very cool.
Fascinating. Yeah. Yeah. And so interesting that it does that color. I mean, who would ever dream that color's got anything to do with aura metallicum? This is the beauty of the color symptom. Yeah. It's quite extraordinary. It's going to become stronger and stronger in homeopathy.
I'm using it with salt now. I love it. It's beautiful. And I also love that in the color chart, there's actually not much in the 7 A's and the 8 A's, but your book has it in, which I've been using a lot because when clients have chosen those, they there's not any remedies in the actual book, but your rose quartz book has
all those colors.
Other colors that those people will choose. So I use your book and the color chart book together.
That's great. So glad to hear you're getting so much juice out of it.
Oh, loving it. Making it fun. It's just so fun to prescribe.
It does. Yeah. Choosing the color, especially for children, is an extraordinary event, actually, that brings them back. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They sort of okay, I'm going to go and see the homeopath and choose the color and talk about a few interesting things like what I like to eat, you know, what I drink.
I just had to bring that in there. Please continue.
Cool. So usually it happens for me, you know, I've worked with a lot of remedies. And at last count, I've made up of about 250. And what happens with my interaction with the remedies is sometimes I call on them because I get a sense of what, you know, some color affinity, and I understand the structure of these crystals very, very well. So through that, it leads me to a remedy that I might prescribe for myself or others. Yeah. And sometimes they call on me. Yeah. So I'll find I hang out in nature a lot, and I've got a good connection with Mother Earth. Yeah. So sometimes they find me. Yeah. And so as it turns out, and the reason why I'm talking about this one today is that it just recently found me. And so, you know, I've taken it and done a self-proving on it. Yeah. And I thought about, hey, this, you know, coincides with talking about trauma today with Eugenie and sharing it with a whole lot of people. Hey, it's really cool. So I wanted, you know, many, many things came up for me, you know, physical, mental, emotional, all that business. And it's a little bit bumpy, but hey, I'm used to that. It's exciting at the same time. And but I just want to take you straight to the core of this remedy. So I have made, you know, I've made it up for myself as a tincture. And what I do when the first thing I do with a stone is that I carry it and I sleep with it. You know, and I get a whole cascade of dreams that tell me a lot of things about it. So amongst other things. So often what comes with a remedy and is a song. And that song, usually when I wake up in the morning, it's just running through my head, even though it might not be a song that I particularly like or a song that I can recently remember. It might be from a long time ago. But you have to understand, if a song is well written, what happens in the writer, and if they've got a good artist for the song, they're making a connection between their gut and their heart and trying to resolve something through the expression of the song. And often they're telling a really deep story about their life. So I've had the experience of many, many songs, and I got a song with this one. Now, this happens to be a song from a band, a well-known Australian band, who's, you know, they're getting on now. They're an old-time rock band. So they would have been famous in the 70s and 80s and 90s, maybe into the 2000s. They were very long-lived, very popular. And one of their first songs was called Cheap Wine. Yeah. And I'll sing you a little part of it. Yeah. So it goes, once I smoked a denim and cigar, I drove a foreign car. But baby, that was years ago. I left it all behind for my cheap wine and a three-day growth. Cheap wine and a three-day growth. Come on, come on, come on. So this is a guy, okay? He was materially successful. He used to drive a really nice car and used to smoke a cigar, but he gave it all up, yeah, to drink wine, yeah, and be unshaven. He went from a successful man, yeah, to a bum. Yeah? And, okay, that doesn't really mean much. It's just a little bit of a quip of a story. But the next verse gives the reason why. Yeah? I had a friend. I heard she died. On a needle, she was crucified. But baby, that was years ago. I left it all behind for my cheap wine and a three-day growth. Cheap wine and a three-day growth. So here, we just go into the depth of what's going on for this guy. Yeah. He had a friend, obviously, who he loved in some way. Yeah. But went down on heroin. Yeah. And that broke him.
Mm-hmm.
He became an alcoholic. Yeah. He was traumatized. Yeah. This is something he can't get over. He can't integrate. Yeah. It threw him into an underworld. This is the story of Green Jasper at the deepest level. And it's the story of Green Jasper trauma. In the song, it's so finely produced and the story is so beautifully told. He even talks about his relationship. He says about his girlfriend, he says, "Baby, I don't need your love. All I hear is you shouting." She's really upset that he's become an alcoholic, right? And she's angry at him. Yeah. He said, "But all I hear is you shouting, but you can't see my eyes." Yeah. So this man is in terrible grief and suffering. She's not looking in past the fact that she's not getting what she wants. Yeah. So he's saying, "I don't need your love." Yeah. He says, "If you can't see what's going on for me."
I must have heard that song 50 times. I've never listened to the lyrics because it's such a good song.
It's very catchy. Every Australian knows it, right?
Yeah, I've listened to that song so many times. I cannot, and I'm really such a big person on listening to lyrics, but I have literally never actually sat and listened to the lyrics. But if you look at any on Spotify, any Aussie barbecue playlist or Aussie road trip songs on Spotify, you know, on my suggestions, that always comes up. And, you know, it's such a great song to sing along to.
Wow. Isn't it? And a lot of people love it here because it's a bit rocky. And
yeah, it is.
People say it's sort of like I can let go. You know, I don't have to do anything. You know, I can just have a drink and let my beard grow and, you know, relax by the sea, which is a thing that we do in Australia, right? But actually, there's a deeper side to it. This is a story of tragedy, yeah, that they've made into a song, yeah, that became a very popular hit. You know, this is like a million album sale band. You know, it's not a small thing. Yeah. They're a major business here in Australia and have been for many, many, many years. So here it is. Here's the trauma associated with this humble stone, Green Jasper. It's the trauma of having lost a friend and becoming an alcoholic because of it and giving up your material life. Yeah. Let's move on.
How amazing you found that Jasper in between all the other rocks. You obviously have a really good eye for it. Anybody else would have just walked past and just think it's just a green stone and you managed to...
I've got the radar.
Get out, yeah. But, you know, it's probably also that energetic resonance. Like you're probably like a rock detector instead of a metal detector.
I've been doing it all my life since I was 5.
Yeah. Amazing.
So I've got training and interest and passion about it on my side. So I'd like to talk to you about another revenue, and that's diamond immersion. Going from something that not many people know about, like a green jasper, to something that everybody knows something about, like a diamond. And you all probably know something about diamond in homeopathy because of adamas and because of diamond immersion. So I'm going to tell you something else, something that you may not know or something that you may have tapped, but it's become very, very relevant. And I'm going to go back to the proofing. And so, go there. No, let's just go back to the basic diamond idea. So we had some interesting experiences with diamond. You know, we did 10 years of proofing on that first book. And so nice you mentioned about the pictures today, Eugenie, because I actually commissioned an artist to do definitive work, thank you for holding it up, definitive work on the imagery, the innermost imagery of these gems, yeah, that was relevant to the heart and soul of the people who are taking them, yeah. And, you know, I commissioned that work and paid quite a deal of money to have it inserted in the book. And, you know, we did double and triple provings of these remedies, at least double and mostly triple to make sure we really had the guts of the remedies in the book, yeah, and that we were looking at them from top to bottom. Yeah? So one of them was diamond. And as you might imagine, it was momentous to say the least. Yeah. And I have to say it is the most memorable proving. Yeah. Maybe sapphire was up there also, but we're just talking about diamond right now. So one of the things, the outstanding memories from doing diamond is that one of the provers had a really deep experience. We all had somewhat of a deep experience, but one of the provers had this deep experience. Yeah. And I'll just give you part of it. This is one particular prover had a feeling that there was a man intent on evil living in my house. Yeah. This went on for about a week. Yeah. After taking diamond. Yeah. And this is a very uncomfortable feeling. There was just this sense of a man in the person's home that was scheming something that was really bad news, going to hurt somebody, yeah, or do something really malevolent. Another prover, on the way to the proving, had an image come up, and it started as though they were crossing the Harbour Bridge in Sydney, which was pretty dramatic, and they really had to contain themselves not to have an accident on the bridge. I think you probably all know or have seen pictures of the Harbour Bridge. It's quite the bridge. And she felt and had imagery that she was being attacked by a stalker. That person also, you know, was quite traumatized by the time they got to the proving already. They knew it was part of the proving. And she also had the feeling, and this came up sort of later on in the proving, that her colleagues, it was the other homeopath she was working with, were conspiring against her. So, interestingly, that prover became an alcoholic from the proving. So there's the fascinating story that she started to drink a bottle to two bottles of wine every night, bar none, yeah, along with a family block of chocolate, yeah, and along with a head of cauliflower. She was a very sensitive ruby. It's quite impressive, isn't it?
Gosh, that's very
okay. You know, that's okay. You know, it might last for a few days and then you're over it. No. This was, you know, a great pain in my side because I was the director of proving and I'd had quite a strong proving myself. And so, you know, we were making constant efforts to help this person because, you know, after the first month, this had happened virtually every day and then solidly every day in the second month. And we were trying to antidote with different potencies of the diamond. No go. You know, sometimes that'd help a bit, but no go. You know? And then the third month, you know, she was at her wit's end and so were we as to what to do with it. And it had to be antidoted and the actual antidoting remedy is of great relevance. It had to be antidoted with sifalinum. She eventually started forming ulcers on the tips of her fingers. And a high potency of sifalinum antidoted the whole thing, the alcoholism, the desire for the foods, and the ulcers on the fingers.
Amazing.
It was quite the event. Yeah, quite the event. It was dark indeed. At the same time, I'll say that two other provers came this close to suicide. Yeah? We had three people who were suicidal. Mm-hmm. The two others were much more able to pull themselves away from that place. Yeah? But they remarked on it. We had three people from the one proving that were taken to the edge of suicide. It was quite remarkable. It's a remarkable, powerful, deep remedy. What's this got to do with trauma? Well, you can see the trauma coming through with the stalker idea. But more interestingly for us is what's happened in the pandemic and conspiracy. So I've had a number of clients who have done very, very, very well on diamond immersion since the pandemic. And they've been traumatized by their sense of evil intent with the vaccinations and the vaccination mandates. Deeply traumatized and thrown into depression. Remember, what this can do to people is, you know, they're the only one who feels like it's absolutely not okay. Yeah. And they live in a family where who they love. Yeah. And everybody else feels it's okay. And they're off getting their jabs.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is dramatic business, you know, and okay, you can be a man or a woman with the person you deeply love, and your partner is saying, you know, you're crazy, you know, just get a jab. Yeah? And the whole thing is deeply traumatizing, especially if you're a familiarly based person. Mm-hmm. So I've had a number of cases that have gone very, very beautifully, where they feel like there's a conspiracy to harm humanity, whether it's true or not. And they feel deeply depressed about its impact on themselves, their family, or humanity. Very, very important remedy. I must say, diamond immersion is a wonderful antiviral also. And so it's bound to give you some measure of protection against viruses in total. It's quite a good herpes remedy too.
Is there a particular potency that you would use this in, Peter? I know it's such an annoying question when, you know, somebody asks you that, but I just wonder with the crystals, is there a particular potency? Okay. You would just like...
I know, look, you know, usually I start off at 200. Okay. With ordinary people.
Okay.
If there's a really deep resonance, you know, I go to an M or a 10M. But often if I want a physiological effect, you know, some nice physiological movement, I'm starting in a 200. That's normally what I do in the common cases. There are, of course, uncommon cases, and I do all sorts of things, even to very, very high potencies. But it doesn't make any difference whether I'm using a gem remedy or anything else to me. Mm-hmm. The only thing I watch out for is snake remedies. You know, I'm a little bit.
Okay. One other little rookie question. I'm only asking it because I know there's people out there, like, well, the first question they'll always ask is potency, and the next question they'll ask is repetition. But for the butterfly remedies, there's, and we know we have lots of like old wives' tales about remedies, like don't repeat bowel nose odes more than once and this and that. But with butterflies, I've heard a lot of people say they're short-acting remedies. You know, they don't hold very long, use this or that potency. But I had a client the other day that did really good on death's head hawk moth for 2 years, pretty much daily throughout the pandemic, because death's head hawk moth has got that feeling of being forced to do something that they don't want to do. And it's actually the moth that's over the mouth of that Silence of the Lambs poster. And also the Novavax vaccine was made from moth cells. So there was this whole thing. I know. And so I was like, well, that's for a short acting remedy. She used it daily for 2 years, and it was clear it was still working for her really well. And
it was beneficial right through, right?
Yeah. But do you find with the crystals that you need to repeat them often, or is it sometimes like a high potency?
Depends on the whole thing, really.
Okay. No, that's fine. I just wondered if this.
For some people, it's one dose. For other people, it's, and, you know, just repeating at long intervals. And for other people, it's 7 days. And other people, it's every day for months, you know. But, you know, still, the common event for me is somewhere between 3 and 10 to 14 days. Yeah.
Okay, excellent. Thanks. Yeah.
That's the most common. But you know, just for the viewers, you know, it's all about the individual sensitivity. And some people only do well on many doses, and other people only do well on one dose. Mm. And most people are in between, in my long experience. Yeah.
In my short experience of 10 years, I found that too.
The other thing is that the thing about not many doses is that for most people, it beggars belief. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, you have a person in and you send them off with one dose, you know, and it doesn't work. Okay. Do you think you're ever going to see them again? Most likely not. Unless they're already true blue, yeah. and they really like you.
Exactly.
The guy gave me one pill. Really? It's sort of doesn't stack up in this material world. Sorry, you know, it just doesn't.
And we have to keep that in mind when we're seeing a new client. And I always ask my clients, what's their background with homeopathy? Because we want to build that relationship with them. So you kind of have to think of what mindset they're probably arriving with at your doorstep. Because if they come from a mainstream model, they're used to taking something for the rest of their life. And so if you give them one single thing, you're probably going to lose them. So, yeah, it's worth taking all of that in mind as well in our prescribing.
Yes. The third remedy I'd like to talk to you about is something black. And so there was a place in Australia called Adelaide. Some of you will know of it. And it's one of our major cities. And just southwest of Adelaide on a place called the Eyre Peninsula is the largest deposit of black jade in the world. It's quite the deposit. Now, when I say black jade, you have to be careful with jade. It is really good to know what you're using. There are remedies just called jade. I don't know what that is, but there are two types of jade, yeah, that I've made up. One is the jade from the nephrite type of jade, which is magnesium iron based. And there is another jade, which is the jadeite type of jade, which is sodium calcium based. Yeah. So the mineralogy of the two jades is completely different. They're mostly both green. And they're mostly loved by Asian cultures, especially the Chinese, both of them. Yeah? But they're very, very different remedies. So this black jade, and you can see it's very beautiful, takes a wonderful shine, is one of the nephrite jade series. Yeah? So nephrite jade is the one that comes mostly from New Zealand, yeah, that the Maori love so much. And we have this beautiful black quality stuff in Australia that not many people know about. So it is an interesting remedy, and it made itself known to me as that it needed to come forward in June 2000. And I already had the remedy and knew about it. I knew it would come one day. And in June of 2021, when they were starting the vaccination push here in Australia, it stepped forward and said, hey, this is my time. So I made an immersion out of it, and it is potentized now. Similimum do have it. I'm not quite sure if anybody else has it. Similimum in New Zealand. They have that remedy. And let me tell you something about it. I had a dream the first night. So the dream goes like this. This is the situation I'm in Sydney. We're on the seaside, and we have beautiful beaches, but we also have cliffs and rock shelves. And on those rock shelves, they're famous places where people go and fish. So they walk out on this rock shelf and they throw their line in, and, you know, they hang out there. You know how fisher people love to just hang out at the end of their fishing rod and wait for bite. So as it happens, we do get freak waves, and we have the death of fishermen every year. Sometimes quite a few of them, yeah, especially people who aren't really familiar with what to do around the edge of the ocean. If you don't have good swimming skills, or you're unobservant and don't have your goggles on, you might get into trouble because we have freak waves. So in my dream, I'm not fishing, but I'm at the edge of one of these rock shelves, and I'm standing there, and a wave comes, a fairly big wave, and washes past me. So what happens with these waves, they can wash past the person who's fishing on the edge, but when they come back, there's this amazing sucking power that sucks them back into the ocean, and hence they go over the edge and fall into the waves. And it's hard to get back up on the rock shelf. And if they don't have swimming skills, you know, they can be a goner. So here am I on the rock shelf. The wave's gone past me. It's gone right up to the, it's a big wave, and it's gone right up to the cliff, and it's starting to come back. And I can feel its sucking power trying to suck me into the ocean. and I'm feeling, whoa, I'm going to be sucked in. So what I do is I lean forward. I just concentrate on my feet and I lean forward towards the cliff to lean into the wave. You know? And the wave comes by and I have to be really conscious and really in my feet and really at an angle so that I don't get knocked back. You know? And eventually the wave goes past me back into the ocean and I'm okay. I thought, oh, wow, what's this about? You know? So after some processing of this business and some understanding of what was going on with COVID, I realized that this remedy is strengthening, calming, increasing in confidence, and gives you an internalized basal or grounded feeling, hence the feet, being really conscious of the feet on the earth and really fixed on the earth, yeah, on the rock in this case. So this is for people who feel inclined to go with the flow of the opinion of the group or society. It's a little bit like your moth.
Yeah.
So this is for people who, you know, everybody else is getting vaccinated, yeah, or is going this way with a particular mandate. I feel really uncomfortable, yeah. And, you know, I don't really want to say how I feel because people are going to criticize me, put me down. I'm going to be ostracized, okay. There are not a few people like this. It is really hard when everybody around you is expecting you to get vaccinated, yeah? Or to go a certain way with dealing with the pandemic in terms of what you are supposed to do. Yes.
Just wondering about teenagers as well and peer pressure. Have you used it much with teenagers and peer pressure? That would be an interesting one as well.
I haven't had the opportunity to use with teenagers, but it could be fabulous. Mm. Yes. This is you're close to the essence of it here when you talk about this sort of situation. So it's about staying with yourself and keeps you from being disconcerted by the community atmosphere and intentions, and could well be peer pressure of teenage years. Absolutely. Yeah. But it could be any issue. Usually these people, they're usually kind and friendly. Yes. But have a bit of trouble standing up for themselves. Hence the need to increase the confidence and confidence in your own opinion and what's right for you, even though it's really different from the group. So I've had a few nice cases during COVID for people to enable them to stand up and do what they know they need to do for themselves, yeah, in terms of vaccination or mandates. And I've had actually some good results in that type of person with the long-term effects of COVID.
From the vaccine or from actual COVID? So they've had actual COVID and they've had long-term effects?
They've had long COVID.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It could be the vaccine too, yes? Both. You know, they're about the same. The vaccine is similar to COVID.
It's, I found the same, yeah.
But it can be either. Mm-hmm. It can be either. Never well since the COVID vaccine or never well since COVID. As long as the core essence is the person feels the need to flow with the opinion of the group. Yeah.
And of course, these remedies would all be beautiful even now, even though the mandates have been dropped and all that. Now we're seeing in our clinic every single day clients that said, I got the vaccine, but I didn't want to, you know, I was forced into it. Everybody around me had it, you know, so if there's.
Or I had no choice, you know, I was going to lose my job, you know, like.
I think this is going to be one of my new favorite remedies in my clinic, but I have to say, I think diamond as well. I can really see the benefit of that in clinic.
So there are many, many remedies amongst the gems, as you can imagine, from those essence themes that I started off with, the very, very good trauma remedies. Sapphire, you know, this is really for the person who has become very hardened heart from trauma. So they won't come to you because they feel as though they're traumatized. Yeah. Although there is a type of sapphire person that does feel traumatized, usually when they've been horribly abused.
Yeah. Sorry, Peter, I just have to show our audience some of the beautiful imagery in your book on sapphire.
Thank you. Yes.
This is the I really enjoy showing what you call the negative seed essence. So this is the negative seed essence image of sapphire and the positive, because, you know, a picture speaks a thousand words. And sometimes when you show these images to a client, sometimes I'll get them to take a photo of, and I'll say to them, take it home and just go meditate on this, or just sit with this a little bit and just see, you know, what resonates with you about this image.
Those images are very potent and very deep, and carry the absolute essence of those remedies. Yeah. Without a doubt, I work so deeply with the person, with the artist. You can't imagine. Yeah.
The image themselves are quite healing, because the clients really recognize themselves in that.
I do.
Sorry, this is off topic, but I think Pearl was one of my favorite ones. The image of, I often, because I treat women and children, I really love this beautiful image of Pearl.
The beautiful one.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, I love all of them, but it's just, there's something about these images that you could show that to a client, and then they kind of get why I've prescribed it for them. You know, they'll tell their story. Yeah. Prescribe a crystal, then you show them the image and they're like, oh, I get it. Yep, you understand the essence of what it is I'm going through by showing them this image.
They are really extraordinary. I went to amazing lengths to get these images. Mm-hmm. And there's no superficiality in these provings at all. Yeah. None. Zero.
I mean, we could spend this hour just gushing about your books, but just the quality of it, the paper, the cover, the quality of the images, like, you can see this is such a labor of love. And I often think, like, things that we do, I often think with my kids that I create, or with all of these things, nobody will ever understand how much work went into creating all that, the countless hours of, you know, sleepless nights, all that. But I can tell that this was the case with your books, Peter. There's so much love. Like, I can see you've poured your soul into this, and it's such a privilege to get to use it in clinic. So it's such a
it's so sweet.
Warm, heartfelt.
Well, thank you for treating it so deeply. Mm-hmm. So sapphire is another trauma remedy. Obsidian, wow, it's an amazing trauma remedy for people who are self-destructive. For people who cut themselves.
Wow. Interesting. A few stuff is sacred for that often. But obsidian, that's really good to know. Thank you.
There's golden topaz, usually for trauma in the home where there's been a violent person in the home. Yeah. And people just close up. And turquoise is another great trauma where you're trying to take care of others or take care of yourself. It's trauma to the feminine. It's the affected feeling, very much like pearl. Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful remedy.
Beautiful stone as well. It's gorgeous. I love it.
So I would just like to finish up a few words about what I'm doing, and if you want to know more. So if you want to deepen your knowledge of what I'm doing, there's a few things you can do. Firstly, if you haven't got one of my books or some of my books that you might be attracted to, you will find them useful. 12 Jewels is long published now, and I'm just so happy with it and so happy I put so much work into it. It took 11 years to experiment and write. And I tell you what, that was 11 years of a lot of work with a lot of people. We had 70 different people involved in the proofings throughout. There was a core group. 70. It has been translated into German. That's a full German translation. There's a translation into French, which is a contained version. It's not the full version. It's a summarized version. I think we've got the images in there though. It's very nice. And I must say that after doing 12 Jewels, I realized that there's one important remedy that I hadn't included, and that was rose quartz. And so I wrote a book just about rose quartz. So that's sort of like the 13th jewel, as it were. And, you know, that is a really, you know, when I think about the books that I've done, I feel really good when I think about rose quartz. Yeah. It is really, it's a, you know, much shorter book because it's just one remedy. I saw really that comes out of one small proving, but it comes out of many, many clinical cases, like about 30 something. It's a big polycrest. People write to me from all around the world about it, yeah, about how well people do with it. I can't tell you, yeah. It's a wonderful, wonderful remedy. And this book really gets it. Yeah. It really has so much experience poured into it.
Actually, earlier this year, after I interviewed you, I gave a free rose quartz to any of my clients who wanted one to experiment with it. And we had some beautiful feedback. So just little 3-gram bottles that we were just handing out, just because I wanted feedback from clients, and especially the ones that have been using homeopathy for a while. I love using them as my guinea pigs. I'll be like, okay, try this remedy out for me and give me some feedback. And it's just beautiful, the things that people come back with. And that's how I learn about remedies, by experimenting on my willing clients.
Me too. Yeah. One of the ways I learn about it. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I usually give it because I think, oh, this is the right remedy for them. But
I usually do that too. But sometimes I will, just especially when you have clients.
Oh, yeah. If you have that nice relationship with them, why not?
Yes. And these clients love it. Like, they really enjoy trying these new remedies and give me feedback. So it becomes a really fun,
collaborative people. How nice. So besides these books, there is Psyche and Structure, which I spent another 10 years writing. And that's all about, if you really want to understand all crystallization and the whole world of crystals, it's also a door to get into the rest of homeopathy, because through this book, you can understand the 7 structures, which are the 7 different psycho-emotional types in humanity. Yeah. And it's quite profound, I must say. I learned this originally off some German crystal healers who were very, very gracious to share their work with me. And I expanded into homeopathy through 10 years of research. Yeah. And this is the book that came out of it. It is quite the read, and it's not an easy read. I advise that if you're going to get into this, that you do a course alongside of it. Yeah. Or that you read the how to study this book part of the book very, very carefully, yeah? Because there's a way to do it. If you just try and read the whole book through, it won't stick. It'll be too hard, yeah? It's worth it.
This one's just been sitting on my cupboard. I haven't delved into this one yet. It's been sitting. When the time is ready, I will dig into
it. Most people need to do a course with it, but it is possible just to do it through the book, as long as you approach it in the right way, yeah? And which I do explain in the book. So I do also have a chart, which is an interesting little chart. It has the structures in it and gives you a little précis of the structures. So the different 7, and there's an extra one, which is doesn't have a structure, 8 psychotypes in it. Thank you. And yes, if you want to get that, it's got the crystal structures, it's got the colors, and it's got all the gems listed under there. Composite nature of where they sort of the crystal structure and the color intersects. Eugenia's got her copy there. Very nice. So I'd also like to tell you about the index to the crystal. So if you happen to have radar, or if you're thinking of getting it, my crystal repertory is available on that platform. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I'm getting so excited now. I have a story to share about radar.
Okay, we'll get through this bit and you can tell.
Yeah.
So in that radar, in that index, you can see it's just like the index to an ordinary repertory, except there are a couple of odd things. Firstly, in the mind, I've put all the dreams and delusions and images all together in the one place. Yeah? So I don't separate between dreams and delusions. Yeah? They're part of one call. I also have sections that aren't in other repertories. The spiritual section, which is all about people's spiritual experiences or people's spiritual endeavors. You know? It's an important part of human life, right? I have a special food and drink part. I have a part on the chakras. It's seminal at the moment, but it's there, and a part on the meridians. What did you want to say about radar?
Oh, I've been... Adonis, it's called now, the new version of Adonis, which I don't, is it called Radar Opus Adonis or just Adonis?
Yeah, it's Radar Opus.
There's all these new remedies that come up, butterflies coming up, crystals, orchids, fungi, all that. But recently I had a client who, she is incredibly intuitive, spiritual, but has also gone through many years of very deep depression, which, you know, a lot of people that are very intuitive and spiritual often go to, you know, you got to have those lows to experience the highs and the yin and the yang and all that. And she kept on describing this heaviness. She's experiencing heaviness. It was so heavy. And she kept on talking about a helmet, and she felt the heaviness was like a helmet on her head. And I just typed a couple of things into Radar Opus it's Synthesis that's now called Adonis. But anyway, you know what I mean. Typed in, I think, heavy and maybe mind or helmet or something like that. And just like, what? Let's just see what comes up. Just have a little play. And this thing came up and it said Morion, Morionimm. So I was like, oh, it's an immersion of something, but what on earth is this? And so I Googled Morion and it said it is a helmet, an open face helmet that's used in battle, but also an alternative name for smoky quartz, which I had no idea, and gave her smoky quartz, and that heaviness completely lifted off her. And because she's such an intuitive person that uses homeopathy, and it was the most beautiful gift for me to hear how this remedy lifted all this heaviness for her, brought a lot of her creativity back. She's just never had that heavy, depressive feeling again. And I was like, wow, that is so cool. So I've been really excited to share that story with you, but I never would have thought of prescribing that if I hadn't found it in Radar Opus.
Fascinating.
Yeah, very cool. Very satisfying.
Lovely, lovely experience. Lovely experience.
Yeah. That's wonderful. So people can purchase that as an add-on in Radar Opus, right? So if they wanted to.
They can, yeah. Yes, they can purchase that repertory. And so you can integrate that with rubrics that you call out from Radar, from Synthesis Adonis is actually what it's called. Yeah. It's a new version of Synthesis. Yeah. So, you know, you can take, that's what I do with my repertory. I take rubrics out of the crystal repertory and I take rubrics out of Synthesis Adonis and put them together usually.
Perfect. Can you purchase the books as an add-on as well, or is it just the repertory?
That's all there is. My books aren't available in they come the basic text of 12 Jewels. It's not the written book and it's not the images. It's the basic text of the provings is in Radar. Okay. So the nitty gritty is there, but the written book is not. Yeah. The written book is a piece of art, really, you know, long considered piece of literature and art, yeah, to help you go right deep into the remedy and really grasp it and take it into your heart. So it's not something that I wanted to be on a platform like this. It belongs in the book. So let me tell you a little bit more about how you can follow through on this. I've got some upcoming seminars in May 2024. There is in Egypt. I'll be in Sharm el-Sheikh in May. And you can contact this person if you're interested, Evelyn Skirbo. I'm going straight on then to the UK and to Stroud at the School of Homeopathy. I'll be there for a weekend.
I'm so jealous. These school grounds look so amazing. I want to go there just to go walk around that building in those grounds.
Gorgeous. And I will be ending up in Leuven in Belgium with VSU. And that's all in May. And as you know, Belgium is right in the heart of Europe. So thank you for tuning into us. And maybe we'll see you again.
Incredible. Thank you so much, Peter. I just have to ask you, is there one final little message that you want to leave our listeners or our audience with? One final little message.
I will say that the gems, because of their deep character of coming out of the darkness into the light, really speak trauma time and time again. I've seen it so many times. There's so many people that have been stuck in a place, and that's what trauma is. It's a place that you can't get out of, that you don't know how to deal with. Think gems, yeah? I mean, you know, there are many other remedies. I don't want to discount them in any way. But if you're really stuck, yeah? See if you can find a colour, because colours often lead to the gemstones.
Beautiful. Peter, I am so excited to get to meet you in person later on this year at the Australian conference. So just be warned, I'll be the crazy fangirl coming up and giving you a huge big cuddle.
Okay, look forward to that. That'll be great.
Be warned. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.